What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here Monday afternoon. Final hour for us. Thanks so much for being with us. Final hour brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at ReliableAir.com. We'll get into the big story of the day, or back into the big story of the day, just a couple of minutes from right now, as the Braves are set to take on the Mets tonight, first of a four-game series in New York. Talk about what happened over the weekend and obviously the injury to a key member of the starting rotation. Back into some NBA Finals conversation as Game 7 started out awesome last night, then went about as sideways as a game like that could go with a devastating injury. And ultimately, the best team in the league won, but I personally came away with a little bit of an unsatisfied feeling after last night, just given how cool the run was by the Pacers. Sucks they couldn't at least get to the finish line healthy. Maybe they get to the finish line as winners as well. And then we'll wrap things up with an AMA at 140. Any question, any topic. Phone lines will be open 404-726-0929. You can text us or tweet us as well.
You talked about this weekend at the wedding. It was the hottest weekend of the year.
Right on
and
time.
It's just, you were reading out some numbers to me before the show, and it's just like, there was no spring. It was a week and a half, and now it's just brutal temperatures. And like, it's always going to be brutal temperatures. And you know me, I'm getting ready for the peach tree, and I need to do a couple of runs this week and early next week before kind of settling in. So, like, I was looking at the temperatures today for like a 5.5 mile run, and it's like 97 degrees.
Yeah, you're going to have to go at 6 a.m.
No, I'm going to go at like 3 p.m. today.
That's not going to be fun.
I'm not doing it for fun. I'm doing it for preparation.
Okay. You're allowed to do it at any time because, like, you're in the
early. Is it really training if I don't do it in the right environment?
But you're going to, what I always thought was, and you're like, you always beat me, so you probably know better than I do. But what time are you going to start the race on Friday?
Ideally at 7.
You're going to start at 7, right?
Yeah.
So do your training run at 7.
Sometimes I do. I run in the mornings, sometimes before the show with Chipper or whatever. It's been a little warm, so not with her. But at the same time, is it, I know you're talking about the timeline and the humidity and all that, but training in worse weather.
That's true. If you run when it's hotter, then maybe
I tell myself
less bad when it's 7 a.m.
If I can do this at 3 p.m., I can certainly still run fast at 7:30, 7:45, because it's really just the last 3 miles we're worried about.
Yeah, it really, once you get
first three, you're fine.
The hill, obviously, cardiac hill is awful.
That's a ball. Big walker.
But then when you get across the bridge into Midtown,
yeah,
that's the killer, because people don't realize it's just a steady uphill, basically, until you get here, where our office is on Peachtree and 14th.
Correct.
And then once you get to 92.9, once you get to Colony Square, then you kind of can just go from there. You
There's
can kind of gut it out.
Sneaky hill
There's
on
a
10th.
Sneaky hill right before you turn left on 10th. But yeah, no, I mean, you know, we've both done it a lot of times. It's a fun event. It sucks. Like, the Peachtree is a hard run, man. And, like, I know there's a lot of people out there listening that have done it. There's a lot of people out there that have done it fast. There's people that walk it. I'm all for just treating it like a fun event, because it is it's hard, man. That's a hard course. 6 miles is a long way to go.
I know.
And the longer it takes you, the hotter it gets.
That's the thing. And I'm starting up front this year, which is nice.
Are you in A?
I am in A.
Oh, wow.
So I'm very excited about it. Now, I'm going to start in the very back of A, because, like, I'm just I like barely belong in A.
Right. Some of those people are going to run the thing in 35 minutes.
Yeah. Like, what is that? Is that human?
I don't know.
What are we doing?
Your dad used to do that.
Yeah, my dad ran it in, like, 36 minutes. That's, like, elite stuff. I can't, you know me. As much as I will enjoy the Peachtree, I also have to run seriously. Like, I can't not. Mm-hmm. I feel more prepared, in better shape this year, not from a running perspective, but I did run, like, Cardiac Hill and that other stretch you talked about up. I ran that a couple weeks ago and mm-hmm. felt good. So I'm going to tell myself I'm in good enough shape to.
Do you ever say the thing that every athlete says in training camp or preseason every year? I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm feeling better than ever. My mind's really in a good place.
No, because realistically.
You're like, lying. Because the best shape of your life was when you were 19.
Yeah, I was going to say sometime in high school before.
Just like everybody.
Yeah. Like, for sure.
Unless you're a professional athlete and you've still been doing it. But yeah.
But, like, it's funny because I'm in the run club. Shout out, Don't Worry Roadrunners. And everyone's like, is that your PR? I was like, it's my adult PR. Yeah. Like, in high school, I was fast as heck.
It's a different standard for
before
all this.
That was my extra 50 pounds of weight either gained or lost PR. So, yeah.
All right. Well, good luck. Don't die. It's going to be 94 degrees this afternoon. So, please, we need you the rest of the week and forever.
I know
We don't want, don't just not die for the purposes of filling in for Randy for the remainder of the week.
Yeah, just for this week.
You know. For the friendships and the family and all of that, but just be careful, man. It's
I know
really
Randy
hot
would
out there.
Certainly decline the offer. Would you like me to text you like I finished?
No, just show up tomorrow, or just like
show up tomorrow.
You can, or just like maybe be watching the game tonight. Just send along like a topic thought or something. Hey, I have an idea for what we could do at 11:40. Then we'll know.
Mike Conley's at 11:40.
Oh, that's right. We got 11:40 taken care of tomorrow.
Yeah,
which is great. Because the NBA draft is on Wednesday night, so we can talk some draft stuff with Conti and NBA playoffs and Atlanta United and all that. Anyway, all right, let's get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
Bow! Weak grounder. What an effort by Sale! Oh, my. Athlete, baby.
That was awesome.
Do you think he wants this complete game?
Pretty sure he made that play and looked right at Smith.
Yeah,
stay in there. Remember the Mike Mussina?
Look at his son, loving it. Two outs away.
Yeah, we all enjoyed it when it happened on Wednesday night when Chris Sale made that ridiculous diving stop in the ninth inning. Looked like he was on his way to a complete game. Now, he struck out the next guy. It was Pete Alonso, right? He struck out the next guy and then couldn't record the final out of the game. They go to the bullpen. Ultimately, he broke his rib when he did that. So, in hindsight, we don't love that play because now we don't get to have Chris Sale for a while. I don't know how long. I mean, obviously, it's cool that Chris Sale was laying it all on the line to try to beat the Mets. The fact that he was still out there, I don't blame them for putting him back out there trying to complete the thing. The bullpen also is terrible, so I understand why. They've done that with multiple guys over the last couple of weeks where if you had, like, a real bullpen, you would take them out of the game and put in a guy that you trust or a couple of guys that you trust to get home. You're leaving these guys out there for as long as they possibly can go. Sometimes they finish it off. I mean, you actually had a complete game for the first time all season. And then, you know, it's been with Grant Holmes and others where it's like, all right, let's see how few pitches you can use to get a couple more outs so we can try to string this thing along. I have to think that's what was happening with Sale in that moment, combined with the fact that he wanted to get a complete game. And ultimately, it came back to bite him in the ass. Like, I don't think that they should change the philosophy on that. I don't think they made a mistake. But it sucks that doing that ends up now meaning Chris Sale's going to be out for a while.
Yeah, and it was just one of those freak things. I mean, obviously, if the ball's hit a little bit harder, he probably pulls up and lets Ozzie take a routine grounder. It wasn't. He felt like it was his play. The adrenaline was still pumping, and I think that's part of why we saw him finish the game.
It's pretty crazy because he broke his rib on that play. Obviously.
Yeah, no, I mean that's
and then to strike out Pete Alonso next is, I mean that's
And it might be one of those things where he probably could pitch with it, but you don't want to, like we saw in the NBA, you certainly don't want to exacerbate it, and that's part of it. I have no idea, but for him to be able to get through the rest of the next two batters and then have to come out, I mean, it's tough to get the news a couple days later. I'd almost have, in the way I watched it happen and then the way I received the news a couple days ago, I'd probably have taken it a little bit better if, like, he makes the play and then is like, hey, come get me, like, there's a problem. The fact that you just felt it wasn't a thing. Right. It was not anywhere present in your mind that he could have hurt himself. And then we get the news, and then we're like, well, when did he hurt himself? And then people start to point back to that play, and I'm like, yeah, man, like, I get it, but dang, that one hurts.
It's just an example to me of when the margins are so razor thin, as they are for the Braves right now.
Right, yeah.
In a normal year, I don't know if it's what normal year, in a situation where you kind of handled the bullpen better in the offseason, and you had it's mid-June, so you're probably not going to have your 7-8-9 set up the way that you would in the playoffs anyway. But and maybe you would have done this anyway. If you had whatever the best version of the Braves bullpen was over the last 5 years, when you had the setups with Matzik and Minter and Melanson and Will Smith and Chris Young. Who
Martin?
Chris Martin.
Coldplay?
Yeah, Coldplay.
I'm on a different side of this,
When you had all that, you might have still done this anyway.
Yeah.
So it feels a bit like revisionist history, but it just, when everything has to go so right in order for you to get on these winning streaks, stuff like this is so derailing, and it's what happened over the weekend.
You're talking about the bullpen specifically, and I understand that. I take a look at it from, if you're seven games above 500, which is probably somewhere where the Braves should be, you probably can sit here and say, okay, we're dealing with an injury to our ace. Maybe we play 500 ball instead of above 500 ball, and we can ride it out and get them back. The fact is that when you talk about the margins and you talk about the small things, there is no room for error with this ball club. These are games coming up now where you can't sit here and say, if we can just go 500 through this stretch without him, we get him back. There, if you go 500 through the stretch, you're still going to be seven games below.
I also think if you're seven games over 500, you probably take Chris Sale out after the eighth inning.
Well, and that's the other thing.
You're having to do,
I don't think it's about the bullpen,
you're having to do some of this extra stuff because of the hole that you've dug yourself into. And, you know, the really frustrating part for me is when you envisioned sort of best-case scenario for playing your way out of it, to me it required some of the things that are happening. Ronald Acuña playing out of his mind. He has to make up for some of what's going on at the bottom end of this lineup. I saw a tweet earlier today, I don't remember, from one of the Braves beat reporters, I don't remember who it was, just sort of talking about how bad Albies, Harris, Verdugo, and Nick Allen are in terms of hitters in the National League. Like, you're talking about almost half your lineup being bottom 15% in terms of success rate in the National League. It's hard to win like that. Now, you can make up for it when Ronald Acuña's batting 400 and on pace to hit 40 home runs while missing 50 games. Like, you can... The other way you can make up for it is Strider, Sale, Schwellenbach, Holmes, starting pitching being as great as it's been over the last handful of weeks. I mean, without Chris Sale, that's a big hole in your starting lineup too. It's just a lot of these bumps and bruises are starting to add up for a team that couldn't have them.
And now the next step of hope is like, and I didn't think we'd be here. In fact, I was arguing at the start of the year, it's like, when we get to this point, I wouldn't even use them. Is Profar comes back July 2nd.
Yeah.
I was hopeful that, like, because in my mind, the argument is you're not going to have him in the playoffs. Why are we going to use him in the regular season?
Don't rely too much on him if you,
But that was under the mindset of, like, all right, like, you're still going to be very safely in a wild card spot if not winning the division.
Nope.
That hasn't happened.
You need Profar to play.
Yeah. play well.
You need him to play well. He's got to bat second, right? Like,
yes.
He's got to bat him second, and he's got to do his job.
Correct.
And then at least the top five most days, six if Baldwin's playing, of your lineup is good.
I mean, maybe. Like, there are plenty of days where, like, Olsen and Riley are lost causes, too. But,
sure.
But more so but than the others.
By
they,
and large,
every once in a while,
those guys are doing their job.
Yeah.
Compared to what you're getting from Allen and Harris and Albies and these guys. Yeah, man. Tough. It's just ups and downs. It's a year and a half of this now. It's very frustrating. They're back at it tonight against the Mets in New York. Spencer Schwellenbach. They beat the Mets tonight. We're back in here a lot more optimistic tomorrow. That's the fun of being a sports fan. It's a roller coaster. We'll come back. We'll talk about the NBA Finals. Came to a conclusion last night. The Thunder are champions. Also, Kevin Durant is headed to a new, different city. We'll get into all that after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here Monday afternoon. Final hour brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at ReliableAir.com. 20 minutes away from the AMA. Any question, any topic, 404-726-0929. Randy Mack out this week on vacation. Abe filling in for him. Obviously, Bo behind the glass. So any questions for any of the three of us are fair game. Text us or tweet us as well. I don't think anybody, even like the most optimistic Pacers people, thought that the NBA Finals were going 7 games. I know when we were talking about it before the finals started, I like went way out on a limb just to try to be a little bit different and say, yeah, I think the Pacers take it 6, but lose in 6. They went even further than that. They come back and win game 6 after Halliburton really looked injured in game 5 and really looked like he wasn't going to be able to help. They played awesome in game 6. They had a really good plan against SGA. Last night seemed like it was going to be a really, really fun game 7. Halliburton got off to a great start. He makes 3 threes in the first 7 minutes, and it really looked like both teams were going to scratch and claw and make it a fun fourth quarter game, which ultimately I do think Oklahoma City probably would have won anyway, but I don't know, and I would have loved to have seen it with everyone at full strength. Unfortunately, I don't want to say the story. The story is that the Thunder are champions. The Thunder won the NBA championship. SGA was the MVP and the finals MVP. They won 84 games between the regular season and the playoffs. It was an incredible run, and they're a very, very good basketball team. But one of the stories, and certainly one we'll talk about for the next few days, is Halliburton now officially rupturing his Achilles. That just came out. We knew it, but it just officially was announced that it was his Achilles in the first quarter of that game and the impact that it had on the game. I'll be honest with you, I couldn't believe how well the Pacers responded to that. They went into halftime with a lead.
Yeah.
They're winning at halftime.
Yeah.
And then TJ McConnell goes nuts in the third quarter and kept it close. And then
8 minutes into the third quarter, the Thunder just took over.
Inevitably, yeah.
A lot of turnovers.
They did their defense thing, and I mean the Pacers really. That's where Haliburton would have been so valuable. And even with him, they were able to kind of landslide him like that at times in the series. Mm-hmm. It would have been so valuable to have him as a ball handler. I mean, there were certain points where they had to have Obi Toppin bringing the ball up the court just because the guards were getting swarmed so badly and turning the ball over every single time. So. That's a fitting way for the Thunder to win it, because that's what got the Thunder to where they were all season. They're built on that blitzing defense. So many all-NBA guys on that team. I mean, they just suffocate you and make you make mistakes and then score off of it. But it just felt a little bit unsatisfying for Haliburton not to be able to make it to the finish line last night, given that he made it so close and started the game playing well.
Hitting three of his first four deep balls is the one thing that I keep a look at. And it's just, I agree with you, like, it's not the story, but there's always going to be that little piece of, like, man, like, their best player was hot to start this game. What could he be accomplished if he was able to make it through healthy and then obviously go from there? Especially if, like you said, if it was a tight game late, like, why would I have any reason to believe OKC?
It's where the Pacers thrive.
I mean, even last night, they got it to like 10. I'm like, hold on now. There's enough time.
Everybody had the same thought, you know what I mean? Right? Because they got it to, I think they got it to 11. It was like 101-89 or something. And then I don't remember if it was Pascal Siakam or if it was Miles Turner. Somebody got a pretty good look from three and missed it. And then from there, the Thunder, because I think they only scored two more points from that point, the Thunder pretty well put it away. But, there was still with like 3.5. Here's the moment where I really thought that maybe the Pacers might be able to sneak their way back into it. When they got the fifth foul on SGA with like 4.5 minutes left, and then very smartly T.J. McConnell went right at him on the next possession, but didn't foul him, whatever, and then didn't seem like they really had a chance to isolate him and try to draw that sixth foul on him for any of the remaining minutes of the game. It would have been really interesting had SGA fouled out with like 4 minutes left. And obviously Haliburton's not playing either because he hurt himself.
Right.
And they had to go the final 4 minutes of that game with just role play. And look, I mean, Jalen Williams, all NBA, he's a great player, but still, for all intents and purposes, he's not like a superstar in the NBA. Just the others having to square off for just like 3.5 crazy
minutes.
What
we all wanted
without
to
Haliburton
see.
Or SGA.
Caruso versus T.J. McConnell for the title.
Some of us did. I mean, it's a nice little matchup. Depends on what you're looking for. But like that would have been fitting, though, kind of. Like, obviously, SGA closing it out, winning it, MVP, all that kind of stuff, caps a great season for him.
Yeah.
But it just feels like we're entering this era of depth in the NBA because of the salary cap and because of the, well, there has always been a salary cap, but because of the aprons and because of the CBA, where that's how teams are going to win championships. You're going to win championships based on more than just your 1-3, like it's been over the last, I don't know, 20 years or so. It seems like we're leaning now in the direction of, 1-3 obviously have to be good. You can't win a championship without star power. But then 4-7 have to be really good, too.
Even 1-3 is a little bit much. I think it's now a 1-2, and then like an up-and-comer from a draft pick. Like, I don't think that third guy can also be a max guy now.
No, you can't. You can't afford to.
You get two max guys, and one of them can be a super max, whatever. You got to find that third pick, that third guy that's probably up-and-comer in the draft. In this instance, from the financial and the developmental aspect, you have SGA. Hartenstein's the other guy, and then Jalen Williams is the draft guy that kind of exploded.
Or Chet, you can't throw him
Chet
in there, too. In terms of what he could
do. By the way, his performance last night can't go without noticing. They were a boatload extra points in the paint last night. The rim protection we saw from Chet in Game 7, I don't really think we saw that from him the rest of the series. He was blocking everything. The only one that could somehow, I don't know, by the way, going back to T.J. McConnell, I don't know how he gets some of those layups with Chet right
just
there.
Grit.
It doesn't make sense. Like,
it's a gym rat.
From a
Moxie.
Geometrical standpoint.
Yeah, it's insane.
Doesn't make sense, but he got it past Chet.
I have no idea how he scores half the buckets he scores.
Yeah.
Because all he does is like flail and get it up on the rim, and then it kind of rattles around and goes in. He's never made a swish in his life. Like, even on a free throw, they rattle around and go in. I don't know how he does it, but he went on like a personal 12-0 run last night. It was insane.
you're a guy that is similar in height to me, and so
sure,
you have played against taller opponents.
Yeah, we're a couple undersized whites.
Did you have
can relate to TJ McConnell?
Well, that, did you have a move, like a go-to move, to where you're like, I can't get a normal shot off against this guy defending me, so I'm going to do this one?
I would jump off my right foot. Because everybody wants you to make your – if you're going right-handed layup, you're supposed to jump off your left foot, right? So I would sort of hesitation time it to where I'm jumping off my right foot and then kind of double-clutching a little bit and letting them go by and then laying it in. It's just a timing thing. You got to get a – you know, so you got to get crafty.
So
you got to get crafty.
I used to do
– This is good. Let's talk about you and me playing basketball the day after Game 7 of the NBA Finals.
I only thought about
TJ McConnell
I only thought about it because TJ was getting shots off that felt like they should have been blocked.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I thought back to how I made stuff happen, right?
Yes, of course you did.
And so
of course
normally when guys – taller guys are blocking – well, I think a lot of the audience can relate to not being the tallest, most athletic guy on the black court. You know what I mean?
On the blacktop?
Yeah, black court, whatever.
Oh, okay.
Hard court, basketball court.
Got it.
I don't know.
Didn't know what you meant by that.
I just feel like I did like I would shoot my layups without going above my head because that's when they'd block it.
Okay.
So it's just like an underarm swoop from like chest level.
An unorthodox method.
It throws off timing.
TJ
same
McConnell
thing you do, just throws off timing.
Unfortunately, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough ultimately.
Do you think with Halliburton, that they would have won?
I don't know. I mean, probably not, just because I think the Thunder are better than them. But also, it was Game 7 of the NBA Finals, and I thought that all along. I thought the Thunder were that much better than them all along, and they kept going. They kept making it, you know, game after game and prolonging the series. So, I mean, I don't know. It would be ridiculous to be like, yeah, they definitely would have won. No, I don't know. I mean, the Pacers shouldn't have ever been in Game 7 of the NBA Finals anyway, based on what we all thought of them all along the way. Like, we kept getting it wrong about what the Pacers were capable of, and they made it to Game 7 of the NBA Finals with a lead at halftime. That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's nuts. And it's a great story, too, by the way. I know they didn't win the championship, but, like, the Pacers doing what they did with the roster that they have. Here's the thing that I'm interested in going forward about this new era of the NBA in terms of how teams are going to be built. Like, I don't know what the blueprint is. I know now because the Thunder did it, they're going to want to make that the blueprint. Good luck. In order to, like, accumulate that many draft picks, you have to start off with star players in the first place. The only way they got all those picks is because they built from the standpoint of Russell Westbrook and Paul George and everything that all of the talent that they had on the roster whatever that was 10 years ago, 6-7 years ago. You can't just accumulate all those picks out of nothing. You have to have high-level talent to trade to get that in return. So I don't know that that is the blueprint. What the Pacers did to me is a little bit more interesting from the standpoint we sit in here in Atlanta, where the Pacers were obviously very good years ago with Paul George, and then they dipped a bit, and then they never went bottomed out, though. They never tanked.
Right.
They never bottomed out. They made it back to the conference finals 2 years in a row and the NBA finals this year from the middle. They built back from the middle with a trade to get Siakam and all that. But the other thing that they've leaned so heavily on, and you can say it because it worked. I don't know that it's really a blueprint, but it's just a bunch of guys that fit well together, seem to work hard, and enjoy playing with one another. Like, in this era where you can't just stack 3 and 4 superstars anymore, I feel like chemistry is going to matter a lot. And maybe I'm just saying that from recency bias because both of these teams seem to really enjoy each other a lot. Also, you enjoy each other a lot when you make it to the NBA Finals usually, unless you're like the Lakers back in the day or whatever. But I don't know. There's something to be said about the way that these rosters were constructed, namely the Pacers building it from the middle and being able to get to the top of the Eastern Conference.
How many of the Pacers guys were their own draft picks? I know obviously that Siakam was not. Was Mathurin their guy?
Mathurin was.
What was Miles
Mathurin's
Turner?
Like the highest draft pick they've had since Rick Smits or something like that, because they've just never really had a high draft pick.
Nembhard and
Siakam
Naismith,
wasn't,
Turner?
Nembhard wasn't. Sorry, Nembhard was, Naismith wasn't, Turner was, Halliburton wasn't, Toppin wasn't, TJ McConnell wasn't, Mathurin was. So, yeah, I mean.
A little bit of mix and match.
Right. But mostly trades.
What are you saying?
I don't know. I don't know. What I'm saying is I don't know how to build like an NBA champion right now in the NBA. That's what I'm saying. It was obvious 10 years ago. have a alluring city or superstar, get some other superstars to come along, win championships. Now it's like, I don't know, get a SGA and, I don't know.
Yeah, have an MVP.
Yeah.
Start there.
Right, and that's what it is.
I mean, it worked for Jokic. Yeah.
Having one of the best five players in the world and then building around them really what is what it is. But it's just not quite as simple as it felt in years past. And it wasn't simple then either. Anyway, congratulations to the Thunder. You're not the Sonics. The AMA is coming up next. 404-726-0929. Any question, any topic, the phone lines are wide open. Load them up. You can text us or tweet us as well. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.